JC Corcoran Podcast.
Go to the grocery store and there's your picture on the front of the Inquirer saying something absolutely ludicrous. Tell me that doesn't affect you at all.
Well, it affects my shoplifting ability because they know who I am if I try to run. They'll just call the studio. I mean, I used to be able to get out with a 9-pound chuck roast, and I can't do it anymore. Well, I slowed down a step. I can still get like the dilled onions and whatever. But no, it's, they had The star, one of the tabloids, had a headline. It said, "My Wonderful Wacky Wedding" by John Goodman.
Right.
Hey, man, I haven't used the word wacky in a sentence since I was in fifth grade. That's wacky, all right. And I looked, and funnily enough, they never sent me a check for the article I never wrote. So I don't know what the hell that was about. I didn't read them because I'll get hot, and I don't need my blood pressure to go any higher. I'm a fat guy. I'll drop like a stone. But it's like cream of nowhere, man. I guess they got to have stories about something. They make them up anyway. But I had to go to a great length. One pinhead from the Inquirer tried to frame me. He hired two strippers to send them down to Pat O'Brien's, and then he was going to take pictures of my naughty nudie bachelor party or something like that. And the guy got popped as he stiffed him. He bounced a check on him or something like that. So they ratted on him to the New Orleans paper. And this guy was trying to create a news incident and use me as the stooge, but he got popped. So
the stories you hear about these tabloids are as bad as, if not worse, than what we hear.
Oh yeah, they're like real weasels.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, January 19th, 2023, 27 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. What does JC love about football? What does JC love about football? What makes him happiest? What makes him so excited with anticipation when he knows that it's going to happen? That's correct. Snow. Now, yesterday they were saying, now the Buffalo Bills game is at 2 o'clock St. Louis time, Cincinnati at Buffalo, the game that didn't get played because poor guy collapsed on the field, almost died. So now here comes the game in the playoffs, and the Bills are, 4-point favorites in this game. Now, they have altered the forecast a little bit. My guess is that they will alter it another half a dozen times between now and Sunday afternoon. But as of yesterday afternoon, they were calling for, and this is their words, National Weather Service, their words, not mine, a possible potential winter storm. Yes! Yes! I just love when it snows during big football games, and Philadelphia is probably going to be in a real soaking rain. They're talking about 100% chance of rain. So it's one of those things where for me, it's just my entertainment because I don't gamble. I don't even do NCAA brackets. I just don't gamble. I've drawn the line there. Sometimes you just got to say to yourself, I'm not going there. I might enjoy it too much. All right. So the best thing is to just not even start. I have a couple of lines like that. It's the same thing with drugs, you know? Weed, period. That's it. That's where I stop. Never have done anything more than that. No desire to do so. But I know a lot of you do gamble. And then, like I said, also there's a lot of people who just watch the playoff games because they're exciting, you know? So, again, Chiefs, 8.5-point favorites in their game against Jacksonville. Eagles, 7.5-point favorites against the Giants in that game at 7:15 on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, Cincinnati at Buffalo, as we said, the Bills, 4-point favorites. San Francisco, a 4-point favorite over the Dallas Cowboys. And get ready, because here we go. Now, I go back and forth as to whether or not it's more fun to watch a big football game with a lot of other people, maybe in a sports bar where, you know, the food is good and there's TVs all over the place and everybody's yelling and screaming. And that's fun. But the other thing that's fun is not having to pay all that money for all that food and alcohol during the game. And also then you have control of the TV. You don't have to worry about anybody messing with it. And also you have sound. You can hear what's going on. That's my biggest gripe with sports bars, is that you go in and you're seeing the game, but you're not hearing the description. You're not hearing what they're saying. And that really bugs me. So I have a tendency to stay home and to watch the games, and then I can hear what's going on. It's a big part of the game. If you're not hearing it, you're missing a lot.
And his ability to suck in these balls.
Tyrell Williams, he beats Cox.
Yeah, and somebody's going to get that gobbler at the end of this game, too. Josh Bynes has been coming all night long, but then he pulls out, and it's just hard. It's been a while since he's seen a hole that big.
Diggs gets a much-needed blow.
He's a thick wide receiver who is powerful from the waist down.
You have to like when there's a guy coming right in your face and he just sits in there and delivers it.
I didn't alter that at all. All I did is took the clips and ran them together, all right?
Other than that, I didn't do nothing.
Melissa Rauch, we were talking about this yesterday. Melissa, they had the reboot of Night Court the other night, and Harry Anderson died years ago, and the character played by Melissa Rauch is supposed to be his daughter. We pointed out that she is only 4'11" and starred in a movie a couple of years ago called Bronze, in which there were a couple of sex scenes. One sex scene in particular that, if you see it, you'll never ever forget it, because it's supposed to be a takeoff on the idea that these Olympians who are in the peak condition of their lives, these amazingly strong and agile athletes, when they have sex, you can imagine what it must be like, just in terms of endurance. And that's what they do in the movie. They do the sex scene is a farce, and they're like doing cartwheels in bed and stuff like that. And it's really, really funny. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, when I watch a Night Court the other night, it's like, I've seen every square inch of this woman. And when I say every square inch, I mean it. I mean, there's one scene during this scene where she is, let's see, she's standing on her head in bed with her back up against the backboard and the wall, and then completely spread eagle. Well, it turns out, I told after the show yesterday, that it was a body double. Ah, oh, come on! Don't tell me that! Apparently, she even talked about it in some interviews for the movie. She said that it was there were prosthetics involved because they had to find a small-chested gymnast to be her body double in that particular scene, and it wasn't that easy to find somebody with the required physical ability and who would stand on her head on the bed with her legs spread eagle. But it is Hollywood, you know? It is Hollywood. Sylvester Stallone and Bruce Willis have been friends for apparently years and years and years, going back decades and decades. Stallone says that he is no longer able to talk to Bruce Willis because Bruce can no longer communicate. He's got this bizarre disease where his cognitive ability, you know, just his ability to understand what people are saying and then to respond. It just sounds like, I've never heard of this disease up until now, but apparently it's just awful. It sure sounds like it. All right, my mother-in-law shows up here at the house a couple of months ago looking sensational, down about, I don't know, 25, 30 pounds, and looking great. It's like, how the hell did you do that? Intermittent fasting. And this is the craze, is what everybody's talking about now, this intermittent fasting. Well, even though it worked for my mother-in-law, apparently, according to Johns Hopkins, who did a 6-year study on intermittent fasting, they're like, nope, doesn't work. And I'm thinking to myself, I know it works. That's what she did. She's down 30 pounds. How can you say it doesn't work? But like a lot of diets, you know, the minute you go off the thing, the weight comes back. And, you know, I just wonder about stuff like that anyhow, when you're messing with your blood sugar and everything. And apparently, like, you drink a jar of pickle juice every day or something. It's like, no, I'll be fat. At least my breath won't smell like pickle juice all day. Jeez.
This George Santos story just keeps getting better and better and better. Here's a report last night from NBC.
A new allegation tonight against George Santos, the New York congressman accused of misrepresenting much of his background. This latest accusation involving a GoFundMe campaign and a sick dog. Ryan Nobles is at the Capitol with more.
Tonight, a disabled Navy veteran calling out embattled Congressman George Santos.
He should be ashamed of himself, but he doesn't have shame. He's a psychopath.
Richard Ossoff claims Santos helped to raise thousands of dollars for a cancer treatment for his therapy dog and then never came through with the cash.
I was so livid that I realized that this guy is now a serving congressman. He doesn't deserve that job.
The dog, Sapphire, never received the treatment and later died. Santos did not respond to NBC News, but told Semaphore the story is not true. This accusation comes at the same time as a new revelation contradicts a major claim by Santos that his mother was, quote, in her office in the South Tower on September 11th. But genealogist Alex Kazalrath acquired immigration records from Fatima DeVolder and shared those with NBC that showed she applied for a visa in 2003, which stated she had not been in the U.S. since 1999. Right now, Santos faces five possible investigations.
The voters of his district have elected him. He is seated. He is part of the Republican
Kevin McCarthy.
Conference.
Santos is now freshly seated both on the House Small Business Committee and the Science, Space, and Technology Committee and will continue to serve in Congress, despite calls from fellow New York members to step down.
I don't think there's any way he could possibly perform his duty.
And despite this new round of accusations, Santos still refuses to engage in even basic questions about the inconsistencies in his background. He has admitted that he's embellished his resume, but claims he is not a fraud.
Of course not. Where would we get a silly idea like that? You really do have to wonder. I mean, at the risk of sounding like a 90-year-old man sitting on a park bench, you know, yelling about socialism, I mean, for God's sakes, how the hell can this continue to go on? And again, as I've often said, I mean, it's one thing when we're sitting here looking at this going, what is with this doofus? Can you imagine, I mean, what this looks like to our friends overseas? And not just our allies, how about our enemies? Think about them.
Why do you want to go to America? The man killed his dog. Long live Osama bin Laden.
That's where we are today. Saturday Night Live is back this weekend. The oddly attractive Aubrey Plaza is hosting, and James Austin Johnson, the guy who does the amazing portrayal of Donald Trump and also Joe Biden, will be back on the show. And you really have to wonder what the cold open of the show this weekend is going to look like after having been off for a couple of weeks. And all of this stuff that we just finished talking about, all of this stuff has been backing up there at 30 Rock, and they're sitting there going, where do we even start? Where, you know, how are we going to cover all of this in the cold open? Because you know they're going to do it. And you got to have a fresh take, too, because all of the late night comedians have been all over these guys, including the situation with Joe Biden. Here's Stephen Colbert.
Biden continued honoring the Reverend this morning at a prayer breakfast where he learned it was the birthday of MLK's daughter-in-law, Andrea Waters King, although it seems like he was missing one small detail.
Well, look, my wife has a rule in her family. When somebody's birthday, you sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Wow. Okay. Now, people are accusing him. Yes. People are accusing him of forgetting her name. That's not fair. He clearly never knew her name. Or maybe they're just such good friends that he's calling her by her nickname, Larler. What's up, Larler? Larler. Larler. Thank you. Unfortunately for President Joe, his classified document saga continues. On Saturday, it was reported that Biden's aides found five additional pages of classified material at his personal residence in Delaware. Oh, my God! This just won't end. Joe's making me do something I swore I would never do. Care about what happens in Delaware.
He's not kidding either, because that's true. If you sit there and somebody says to you, go ahead, name all 50 states, you'd get Texas and Illinois and Missouri and everything like that. And then you'd start going, there's two Dakotas, north and south. California, can't forget. Florida, all the obvious ones. Delaware, you know, places like Delaware and Maine, all those sort of little states that started out as colonies that are really tiny up there in the Northeast, you'd start forgetting those, and Delaware is the one you'd forget. It was on this date, 1985, I was the most excited guy in town. Man, oh man, I remember it was a Sunday morning, and I was driving around going to 7-Elevens. I picked up about 50 copies, because of course, 1985, this is pre-internet, no email, no nothing like that, and if you wanted physical trace evidence of something, you had to physically hold it in your hand, and if you wanted to send something to somebody, you had to fold it up, put it in an envelope, and mail it to whoever it was. And so in this particular case, the Globe Democrat, which I never really gave much credence to, said, we're going to make you the cover story of the Sunday insert in the Sunday Globe Democrat. And I was like, really? And so it came out, and I was running around picking up copies all over the place, sending 5 copies to my mother on the cover of the Globe Democrat. That was 1985. 1990, I was emceeing one of the many George Carlin shows we did. This one was at Westport in 1990. In 96, I was in L.A., sitting 3 feet away, looking into the beautiful gaze of one Miss Natalie Portman. Oh, my goodness. The movie was called Beautiful Girls, Timothy Hutton, Uma Thurman. And you really did get the idea that Natalie was using about 2% of her brain talking to me, and the other 98% was like doing long division in her head while she was talking to me. Beautiful woman. And on this date, 1996, I was over at the Ritz-Carlton because in town for the Jewish Book Fair was one Mr. Richard Dreyfuss, who I had met a couple of times before. So when he came to town, I called up and I said, look, you know, I'm doing this radio and TV stuff here in St. Louis, and can I come over and talk to you? It's like, okay, sure. And so got to run over there and sit down. And it was on this date, 1996, that one of those sleeper movies came out where people were like, hey, wait a minute, we just put this thing out. We didn't really think it was going to do much. And even to this day, it will repeat on cable, and it just seems like it's another one of those movies that, you know, you can be vacuuming on a Saturday afternoon, have the TV out in the corner, not even really know what's on, and you look in the corner of your eye, you look and go, oh, that's Mr. Holland's Opus. You stop that vacuum cleaner, you sit out, and you watch it from wherever you picked it up. It really is one of those interesting movies, and I really wanted to know about that experience with Richard Dreyfuss.
People here in St. Louis will tell you that I went on a personal crusade 3 years ago to get people to see Mr. Holland's Opus. There was so much going on in this movie. You had the issue of musical education, the son with a hearing impairment, the history lesson I thought was great. One of the great things about the movie. The John Lennon references, the issue of possible infidelity, the relationships among and between the individual members of the cast. For those of us who really connected with that movie on a really emotional level, and just lift up the curtain a little bit and tell us a little bit about the making of that movie and how it got made, what it meant to you, and the reaction that you got to that film when it was released.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can figure some of the things out about Mr. Holland by looking, in a sense, at it through your peripheral vision. When we make that movie, it's normal when you make a film that you can certainly have a good time, but it's not as if, you know, you go away to make a movie and everyone becomes everyone else's best friend. That's exactly what happened on Mr. Holland. The crew and the cast went through an emotional experience the likes of which I had never had before or since. We all became tight. We all are still friends. We went out together as a group every night. Making that film was a labor of exquisite pleasure. And everyone sooner or later on the film identified with one or more parts of the story. And then when the film came out, it became immediately apparent that the film was being dealt with on two levels. One was that people would enjoy the movie or not, and most people did. But the other is that the impact of the film began to have immediate effect on school budgets all over the country, music departments all over the country, individual teachers' careers all over the country. The film began to snowball, to gain a momentum. I've been involved in other films which became cultural experiences, you know, when Jaws was released or Close Encounters or American Graffiti. But this was the first time that I'd ever done a film where its civic life was as important as it was as a movie.
That's another brilliant guy right there. And one of those people who sizes you up very, very quickly and determines in the first 30 seconds what you're going to get out of him. And luckily, we sort of hit it off, and so he was very candid with me, answered all the questions, really, you know, understood. Okay, all right, this guy knows what he's doing, but boy, I would feel sorry for anybody who went into an interview with Richard Dreyfuss, like, not prepared and acting like a goof. He would chew him and just swallow him, spit him out again. So anyhow, as we go back, and what a movie, too. Mr. Holland's Opus, I could talk about that movie for about a day and a half. Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, this guy, Jesus. The other day, it's a dumb story, I'm not even going to do it. Dolly Parton says some of the stars on her upcoming rock album include Paul McCartney, Stevie Nicks, John Fogerty, Steve Perry of Journey, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, and Cher. It's called Rockstar. It's going to be out later this year. Late Night Tonight, John Oliver on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got the cast of 80 for Brady, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, and Sally Field. I have seen the commercials for this thing, and if that's the best they got, I can't even imagine 90 minutes of this. I'm supposed to see it next week, and I don't even know if I'm going to go. Stephen Colbert's got Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Anna Kendrick, and Scott Kahn with James Corden, and Seth Meyers as Kenan Thompson, the guy who directed Training Day with Denzel Washington, Antoine Fuqua, doing a Michael Jackson biopic. Here we go. Sade, Snoop Dogg, Gloria Estefan, and Jeff Lynne from ELO inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. They made the announcement yesterday, and the United States Senate is going to begin its hearings on Ticketmaster and its lack of competition. That's going to be next Tuesday, and that is one to watch right there. All right, birthdays today. Guy's got to be president someday, I believe, maybe sooner than later. Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, 41 today. Frank Caliendo, our impressionist buddy, 49.
I did a sketch on the NFL on Fox this year, which was about Kurt and Brenda Warner. You know, I wasn't doing it to be mean. I just do it. This is just this. You know,
here's a guy who doesn't do it to be mean. He just does it to make money.
But we did Jim Rome.
Yes. And it was, it's just amazing. You're dead on with him,
it's
too.
Incredible. What a ridiculous idea. Doing a Jim Rome impression. Jeez. Supposed to be interviewing Kurt Warner. He wasn't there. Brenda Warner was. Phenomenal. Now I'm going to pause for no reason. And I'm back. Great pause. We have a call from George in D.C. Wait a second. He's in Crawford. George in Crawford, go ahead. Yeah, Jim, thanks for the van. We have found the weapons of mass destruction, but they're all invisible. Great call. Rack 'em.
Here's a guy who knows how to keep on talking.
I can't believe it didn't even do his Chris Rock impression. I was waiting for that the entire time. Listen, we don't always have time for Chris Rock. We try to, but
just say the end.
He doesn't want to say the end. He wants to keep on going. Why is he doing this? He hasn't even done Adam Sandler yet.
I would like to say something for you.
He starts to zig, and just when you think he's going to zag, whoa! He zigs again. Yeah, what he does is he goes off on a tangent. You know what a tangent is?
Yeah, I love tangerines. They're my favorite fruits. What do you think, Bill? I love melons. I love squeezing them.
I do. Whoa, this has been weird. I even can't even keep up here, you know?
Wow. We're all up. By the way, I'm fine now with gay marriages. As long as it's a gay man marrying a gay woman. Okay, woman marrying again.
Here's a guy still trying to do bits, and they're trying to go to break. What is going on here?
What a morning that was. You know, when we have guests in the studio, I would always go out into the hallway where they were waiting. You know, we had a little green room area there, and they could hear the station, and you know, get them a cup of coffee and just, you know, we'll be on in 5 minutes or whatever the case may be. I always say, is there anything specifically that you want to talk about? And sometimes we'll say, you know, the star will say something like, oh, please talk about my book, talk about my movie, my new song, whatever it is, or I got an HBO special coming out. Okay, good. I'll make sure we do a little extra focus on this. I go up to Frank, okay, anything you want to do? He goes, nope, just say good morning. And I was like, all right, that's what I did, and that's how it came out. The man knows what he's doing. Anyhow, he's 49 today. Happy birthday, Frank. Drea De Matteo from The Sopranos, 51. Sean Wayans, 52. Katie Seagal, 69. Paula Deen, 76. Dolly Parton, 77. Shelley Fabre, 79. Johnny Angel, how I want you. And I pray that someday... She was very nice, by the way. We met her in Los Angeles back in 1990. Robert Palmer and Janis Joplin were born on this date. Antarctica was discovered by Charles Wilkes on this date back in 1840. It's 183 years ago. Before that, we didn't know Antarctica was there. And you got to be looking really hard. You got to be thinking to yourself, no, I'm sure of it. There's something there. It's like, Charles, I'm cold. Can we go back? No! A man was arrested for shoplifting at a Walmart in Georgia, and when the police helped him put the items he did buy into his car, they found 37 pounds of marijuana in his trunk. Now he's in a little more trouble. Man in Tennessee driving drunk when he let his five-year-old take the wheel. They crashed their car into a neighbor's mailbox. Kid's going to be okay. Dad charged with a DUI. We're getting to the point where streaming services and live TV apps are becoming the same price as the expensive cable packages. You could see this coming. A new study found that Viagra lowers the risk of heart disease in men by up to 39%. And it even helps reduce the risk of early death. And then, of course, there's the additional benefits. Feel free to conduct yourself however you like at restaurants. Just know you're being judged for it. A guy who worked as a waiter for more than 30 years came up with a list of the top five things customers should never do. Not leaving a tip, the obvious one, but here's four more. And again, 30 years in the restaurant business, here's what he says, take it or leave it. Don't rearrange the tables on your own. One of them could belong to a different server, so it annoys them when you do that without at least asking first. Number two, don't forget to wash your hands after you handle a menu. They were gross even before COVID, and they don't get cleaned, especially those laminated ones. They get handled by dozens of people a day, and they fall on the floor, so they're like a petri dish. And people just dig in and start eating their bread after they touch the menus. Wash your hands. Don't send back food just because it's not what you expected. If it's cooked wrong or the order is off, send it back. But don't demand a refund just because you ordered salmon and then remembered, oh, that's right, I don't like salmon. And number four, don't leave gross stuff on the table for them to clean up. One of them is used tissues. If you blow your nose, find a trash can and toss it in yourself. People with babies even leave dirty diapers behind sometimes. I do the countdown every day on how long before pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Right now it's only 27 days. The Cardinals have got to come up with an answer here any day now with regard to who's going to take Dan McLaughlin's place on Bally Sports. I mean, we're less than a month away, and we still don't even know who our play-by-play guy is going to be. There's got to be some sort of an announcement coming. I mean, literally any day. Speaking of the Cardinals, John Hewlett and I were out in California in San Francisco. This was right after I started at K-Hits, and the Cardinals made the playoffs that year and playing the Giants. So, pop, we're on a plane to San Francisco, and we're sitting there doing the show from the Cardinals lobby at their hotel. And we're like, well, this is going to be fun too because of PNC Park, largely considered to be one of the most beautiful ballparks in all of Major League Baseball. So we go out there, and again, the park is relatively new, and we're out there and we're just sort of walking around. We want to see the whole thing. We go out to McCovey Cove, and standing there with a notepad is Mark Lamping. Mark Lamping at that time was the president of your St. Louis Cardinals. And he was walking around with a notepad taking notes down for ideas for what was to become the new Busch Stadium. And he really liked that area out there in McCovey Cove where people could stand and look into the ballpark. Can't really get a very good view of the game. It's not like people are going to do that instead of buying tickets. But it's sort of nice that people who are tourists can just sort of walk by, look through the gates, and say, oh, look at the baseball game in there. Isn't that fun? And so he really liked that idea, and he was taking notes and attempted to incorporate some of those ideas, taken, stolen, whatever the case may be, from PNC Park and apply them to the building and the design of the new Busch Stadium. I tell you that because PNC Park is in the process of getting $11 million in upgrades. The ballpark is already 22 years old. When did that happen? 22 years old. But I have an issue with that idea about PNC being the most beautiful ballpark in all of Major League Baseball, because what you're doing then is you're taking in consideration all the stuff that's outside the ballpark. Yeah, if you're sitting up on the upper levels or sitting in the press box and you're looking out and you're like, look, a beautiful baseball field, nice brand spanking new ballpark, and look at that beautiful bay out there. Look at the ships coming in and out and the people on their boats, and isn't that beautiful? And I'm like, well, now hold it a minute. Hold it. You're judging the ballpark based on things that aren't the ballpark. We're talking about the ballpark where they play the game. What's that like? If you're going to start taking into consideration things that are a half a mile away, they got nothing to do with the actual stadium, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Because if you strip all of that stuff away, well, then you've got pretty much a standard Major League Baseball stadium. I'm sticking with Wrigley Field. I'm biased. That's where I'm from, but I'm sticking with Wrigley Field. And finally, a teaser for Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show is out. It wasn't meant to be released, but Biden left it in his garage, and well, you know how that goes, right? And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, January 19th, 2023 is in the can. 27 days till pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Please help spread the word that we're here every weekday morning right about this time at jconline.com. Email jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we're beating this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.